Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Ayin Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find at the very top of Daf Ayin Zayin. On the side, we have a topic heading in which we've written Isur Cholol, the prohibition of Chololos. A cholol is the product of a kohen that married a divorcee, a grusha. Number two, bas shel gerim, ma dina lekuna, the daughter of converts. What is her status with regard to marrying the kuna? Is she permitted or not? Now the Gemara, the Mishnah. Bas cholol zohar, the daughter of a male, cholol, psula min hakuna le'olam. The word le'olam, Rashi says on the top line, le'olam, bas beno, ubas ben beno, ad soif kol hadarosh shel chololim. You would look at the son, the cholol himself. In other words, he's the son of a kohen that married a grusha. Let us say that he has a son, and that son has a daughter. She's forbidden. And instead of a daughter, let us say the son had a son who in turn had a son and then a daughter. That girl is forbidden to the kuna. The Rashi says, Ad sof kol hador, shel chalolim, zohar ben zohar, son, that means a male, the son of a male, bas wachrom psulo kebas harishon. The final daughter in that string of men is prohibited just like the first daughter of the cholol. Now, this is in stark contrast to aval bas bito mi Yisrael ksheira. We have a little diagram on the side of a cholol that married a bas Yisrael, and they had a daughter. Now, that daughter, she's the daughter of a cholol. She's prohibited to the kuna. However, if she marries a Yisrael and they have a daughter, she's muteris to the kuna. Had this been, instead of the bas born to the cholol, had it been a ben, a son that was born to the cholol, so then the next generation daughter would have been prohibited. So Rashi goes on to say, Delo chamira bas cholol me chalola. The Amrina, we say that the daughter of a cholol from a chalola is not as strict. The Amrina, bito shel chalola mi Israel, kshera lakuna. We continue with the mission of the second line. Yisrael shenosa chalola, bito kshera lakuna. We have a little diagram on the side which illustrates that case of a Yisrael that married a chalola. The daughter, she can marry a kohen. Cholol shenosa bas Yisrael, bito psula lekohuna. A cholol that marries a Yisraelis, so that daughter is prohibited to the kohuna. Rav Yehuda Omer, bas ger zohar kebas cholol zohar. Rav Yehuda says that the daughter of a man who had converted to Judaism is prohibited to marry a kohen just like the daughter of a cholol. Rav Elazar ben Yankov Omer, Yisrael shenosa giores, a regular Jew who married a woman who converted to Judaism, bito kshera lekuhuna. Veger shenosa bas Yisrael, bito kshera lekuhuna. You can see how Reb Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees with Reb Yehuda. A ger who married a regular woman from Israel, from the Jewish people, their daughter is allowed to marry a kohen, avol. However, if you have two convert parents, ger shenasa giores, bito psula lakuna, echod ger ve'echod avodim mishuchorim. Whether you're dealing with converts or slaves that were freed, afilu ad asoro doros, even 10 generations later, ad shete imoi misrael, we're not going to allow the daughter to marry a kohen until the mother is from Jewish, pure Jewish pedigree. Rabbi Yossi Omer af ger shenosa giores bito ksheira lakuna. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and says that even if both parents are gerim, are converts, the daughter is muteres to the kahuna. So as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, all of the different ger combinations are, their daughter is allowed to marry the kahuna. My lo'olam. The Gemara asks, regarding the word in the Mishnah, lo'olam, that was dashed, underlined above, and we have a little arrow to connect where you saw it above. What does that word convey? The Gemara answers, Mahu de Temo, Midi de Have Amitri Vedomi. Without the Mishnah, I might have thought to treat the case of a Bas Cholo Zohar the same way we treat the converts to Judaism from the Egyptians and from the Edomites. Ma Lahalon Lachar Sholosh Doros. Just like over there, we say that after three generations, they can marry into the Jewish people. Afkan, so too, with regard to the daughter of a cholol, nami lachar sholoisho doros, that after three generations, we would say that the psul chalolus disappears. Komash malon, so the Mishnah tells us that that's not so, that the psul of chalolus, the disqualifying factor of chalolus, continues la'olam till the end of time, as long as you're dealing with the daughter of a son who is traced back son after son after son back to the first cholol, that daughter at the end of the chain is prohibited to marry a kohen, as we saw above in the Rashi. Yisrael shenosa chalola bito ksheira lekuhuna. A regular Jew who married the daughter of a kohen who married a grusha, she is a chalola, and this pair had a daughter. So the Mishnah tells us that that daughter is kosher, can marry into the kuna. And we had a little diagram of that above in the margin where the double star appeared. Mino hani mili. What is the source for these laws? On the side, we have a subtopic heading. Maha moker ladeo shebas shel Yisrael shenosa chalolo ksheira lekuna. What is the source for this particular point of view? The Gemara continues. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Ne'emar kan velo yichalel zaro bi'amov. Regarding a Kohen Godol, the Pasuk says, and he shall not profane his seed by marrying a woman and having children with one whom he is prohibited to marry. V'nemar lahalon, and it says regarding tumah, regarding defilement, lo yitame baal ba'amov. You see, we have a gzeiro shava, a word comparison, the word ba'amov. Ma lahalon zechorim v'lo nekevos, just like over there regarding the laws of defilement, specifically defilement to the dead. Only male kohanim are prohibited, are warned against defilement to the dead. Female kohanim are not included in that prohibition. So afkan, so too regarding the topic of cholol, zechorim v'lo nekevos, the daughter of a cholol is what we restrict to the kuna, but not nekevos, not a chalolah. so that if a chalala marries a Yisrael and they have a daughter, that daughter is kshera lekuna. Elo me'ata, well, using this reasoning, we have some questions. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivnei, a double underline appears with a house marking. And we've written, lefiha mokar shuva, according to the source that we've quoted, yesh lahakshos kushos, there are questions we can raise. Shehei muter mashiyadul kasser. We should actually say something is permitted. The following suggestions should be allowed when we know that they're not allowed. Later, you'll see an inverted house marking, and that will be a suggestion, she'osur mashiyadul kamuter, a suggestion to forbid something that we know is actually allowed. Now, these questions all arise from the source that we just gave for why the distinction between the bas of a cholol and the bas of a chalola. So now the Gemara, elameato bita shel kohen gadol tishteri, the daughter of a kohen gadol that had impregnated a widow, an almona. Now we know that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almona, but the daughter from that union should be allowed. Rashi says, "Bito shel kohen gadol minu almona tishteri." The daughter of a kohen gadol that had a child with an almona should be allowed to ha'amrina nikevos mutaros. Of course, according to what we just said, females are allowed. So the Gemara responds, "Miksiv bino." Does it say in the pasuk, "Bino zaro ksiv lo yichalel zaro bi'amov"? The pasuk concerning the kohen gadol that marries the almona says that if he does marry with her, that will result in zaro, children. No distinction between males and females. All children will be mechulol. They'll be rendered unfit to the kahuna. So that even if a daughter was born from a kohen gadol that married an almona, since the pasuk uses zaro, she will be prohibited to marry the kahuna. Rashi adds an interesting point. Zaro ksiv, Rashi says, vafilu nekevos, including the daughters of the union between a kohen gadol and an almona, v'chiyahani gzera shava, the reference before that we had that we made with regard to the gzera shava, where we said zacharim and not nekevos, where nekevos are excluded from the prohibition, that is meaningful, labas bito. In the case of the kohen gadol that married the almona, we said that the daughter that results is prohibited to the kuna. But if that daughter in turn has a daughter, would be a granddaughter of that prohibited union, she would be kosher to marry the kahuna. Let's continue in the Gemara. According to our reasoning before, we brought a gzera shava, so bas bino tishteri. The daughter of the son of a cholo should be allowed. That was what we suggested before by saying the gzera shava. Rashi says bas bino cholo tishteri. Dahani detehani le gzera shava. We have a cholo. He has a son, and that son has a daughter. Let us say that that daughter should be muteris to the kuna. We know she's not. And let us say that the gzera shava should be effective in enabling her to be kosher. V'lo apikro elo zaro, avol zera zaro tichshar b'nekevos migzera shava. And as far as the zaro pasuk is concerned, that only refers to the first generation born after the forbidden union, but a subsequent generation should be allowed. So the Gemara answers, ksiv lo yichalel zaro, makish zaroi loy, ma hu bito psula, just like him, the daughter of the kohen gadol who married an almona, just like his daughter is psula, af bino, so to his son's daughter, af bino bito psula. The Gemara asks, Well, then if, according to this reasoning, bas bito titzar. And we said to the contrary, if you have a Kohen Gadol that married an almona, and they in turn had a child, a daughter, and that daughter, true, she's forbidden to the kuna, but the daughter's daughter is permissible. Let us suggest to the contrary, that bas bito titzar, the Gemara says, in Cain, gezeira shava maya hanile, if you're going to go that far and say that like we said just before, makish zaro lo, and compare the daughter to him, just like his own daughter is prohibited, so his daughter's daughter should be prohibited. If you're going to say that, then of what benefit is the gezeira shava? The gezeira shava from which we learned zecharim and not nekevos. At what point will we be able to see a distinction between males and females if you're going to suggest that bas bito should also be prohibited? Cholol shenosa bas Yisrael bito psula. The Mishnah taught that a cholol that marries a bas Yisrael, the resultant daughter is prohibited to marry a kohen. Well, hotonole resha, is there not redundancy in this Mishnah? Was that not already taught bas cholol zohar psula minakuna l'olam? The daughter of a union of a cholol with a bas Yisrael is prohibited. So what does the Mishnah add on the third line of the Mishnah when it says cholol shenosa bas Yisrael bito psula? The Gemara answers, Aidi detona resha Yisrael shenosa chalola. Since the Mishnah wanted to teach the case of Yisrael shenosa chalola where the daughter is kosher to the kuna, so tona nami sefa cholol shenosa bas Yisrael. So just for the sake of balance in terms of language of Mishnah structure, so it taught the contrasted case of cholol shenosa bas Yisrael, even though we already knew the outcome of that from the first line of the Mishnah. Masnisen delo karebi dostoy ben Yehuda. Our Mishnah that says that the daughter born from a cholol that marries a bas Yisrael is prohibited to the kuna is not like Rebbe Dostoy. Rebbe Dostoy allows that daughter to marry a kohen. The sanya Rebbe Dostoy ben Yehuda imer kishem shebenei Yisrael mikvetara lechalolus. Just like men Yisrael. Pure Jewish pedigree Yisraelim that are there, just like they are mikvitar lechalos. What did we mean by that? Imagine the daughter of a chalola with a Yisrael. So the fact that the chalola married a Yisrael, their daughter is kosher to the kuna. So kach benos Yisrael mikvetar lechalolim. So too, when you switch around the genders, the male chalolim that marry a bas Yisrael, also their daughter will be kosher to marry a kohen. As far as Rebbe Dostoy is concerned, only if the mother and father are both chalolim, chalol with a chalola, then the resultant daughter would be prohibited because you don't have any, say, purifying factor. You don't have, in that case, both members of the couple, both ends of the couple are problematic. But if one is a Yisrael or a Yisraelis and the other one is a Chalolo or a Chalolo, then it pure of the presence of the Yisrael identity purifies the resultant daughter, enabling her to marry a Kohen. My time, the Rebbe Dostoy ben Yehuda. What's the reason or the basis of his approach? Amakra lo yichalel zaroi be'amov be'am echod hu demechal. That means that only if both are halolim would that render the resultant daughter a halola or prohibited to the kahuna. B'shnei amimim eino mechal. When they're not equal, when one has the problem of chalolos and the other is of a pure pedigree, then the resultant daughter is not a chalola and she is muteris to marry a kohen. The Rashi it says just a couple lines down from here, Be'amov, Midaloksiv Be'amimov, from the fact that the mem was not doubled in that word, Mashma She'ein Zaro Mechalel Es Bito Elekshu V'ishto Me'am Echad, that the male's seed, that if he is a cholol, does not disqualify his daughter unless his wife is also like him, that they're both shneim chalolim. We continue in the Gemara, but before we do so, we glance at the side. We have a tat nosei, a subtopic heading, and it reads Hamoker loymar sheisha nia chalola hayade bio asura isur kahuna. The source that will teach us that a woman becomes a chalala through a prohibited form of intimacy. When we speak about prohibited form of intimacy, we speak about prohibitions that are strict. They're strictly kohen oriented prohibitions. What's an example of a kohen oriented prohibition? A grusha, a divorcee, an almona with regard to a kohen gadol, a chalutza on a rabbinic level. Tonu Rabbana, lo yichalel zaroi, ein liela zaroi. I learned from that a Kohen, let us say, who marries a forbidden woman, so the result is a cholol, that's his seed. He atzmo minayin, the woman herself. The pasuk we mentioned before was a pasuk related to a Kohen Godol marrying a prohibited woman like an almona. So how do you know that he atzmo, the almona herself, is desecrated, becomes a chalola? The outcome of that, the practical outcome of that is that before the Kohen Gadol had intimacy with her, she was an almona. She could have married a standard Kohen Hedyot. Now that the Kohen Gadol has intimacy with her, she's rendered a chalola. She'll be prohibited to marry a Kohen Hedyot. So how do I know that she herself is also desecrated? Amris Kalvachomer. We use Kalvachomer logic. Ma Zaroi Shelo Avar Avera Mischalel. The child that results, the child didn't do any sin, and yet he is profaned. He Shavra Avera, the Almona that had a sinful relationship, Eino Din Shem Mischalela. Certainly she should become desecrated, and hence prohibited to the Kohuna. The Gemara says that logic has a hole in it. You can undo the logic. We call this a pircha. Who atzmo yochiach? He himself, the Kohen Gadol himself, can prove to the contrary. She'ovar avera, the Kohen Gadol sinned by having intimacy with the widow. V'ein mischalo, the Kohen Gadol does not become desecrated. A sin, yes, but his status doesn't change. The Gemara answers that. The Gemara rejects the objection. Ma lehu shekein ein mischalo b'chol mokoim, toimar behi shemischaleles b'chol mokoim. We take a look at the Rashi, a few lines down from here, toward the end of the narrow lines. Ma lehu shein mischalo b'chol mokoim, afilu bo al hashivcho v'al hazoino. Even if he has relations with women prohibited, not just to kohanim, women prohibited to all Jewish people, like a heathen bondmaid or a zona. I should maybe qualify the case of zona is truthfully a kohen type restriction, but whatever forbidden bia he has, whatever forbidden intimacy he has, he the kohen gadol, does not lose his kohen status. Toimar beisha shinifseles b'chol makom. I can't apply the same standard to a woman, that whenever the woman is subject to prohibited relations, she becomes rendered unfit to the kahuna. She bo'al el kusi cholol nosin mamzer, whether a kusi or a cholol or a nosin or a mamzer has intimacy with her, she becomes psula v'amrin liel. Once a woman is partner to intimacy of that which is unfit, she becomes ruined. ruined, she cannot marry a kohen. Just like a woman becomes nifseles with respect as a result of other prohibited intimacy, so too here with the, in the case of the almona with the kohen gadol. So that the fact that he is not mischalel doesn't mean that she should be not mischaleles. V'im nafshoch lomar, and if you have any problem or if you have any weakness with that logic, Omar Kro, I will give you a posuk, lo yichalel zaro, which teaches me, lo yichulal ze shohoya kosher v'nischalel. The Torah is warning against the profaning, the desecration of that which was kosher, and now you are making it unfit. And that's a reference to, that's already a scriptural reference to the fact that a Kohen Gadol is warned against having intimacy with the Almona, that up till now she was Kshera, and as a result of the intimacy, she becomes unfit. That Pasuk is clearly not referring or certainly not limited to his children, because his children never had the status of being kosher to begin with. The pasuk, the way it's understood here, is lo yichalel means do not profane that which had been kosher. The children of that union of a kohen gadol with an almona could not be described thusly. They never had the status of being kosher. So you see that the pasuk is referring to the kohen gadol profaning the almona. So as we had started this discussion with our top nose, our subtopic heading, we're looking for a source that a woman becomes a halola through the bias isur. So we are showing that. Now the Gemara asks, what we have to do is we have to just backtrack two lines. We overshot in our reading. We read the end of the source. We have a dashed underline. V'im nafshach lomer. If you had any trouble with the logic before, so Omar Kro, we read the pasuk says lo yichalel zaro lo yichulal zeh sheyakosher v'neschalel. So now the Gemara asks, my im nafshach lomer. What was weak with the reasoning before? Just before this, we had said that you can't expect to machshir the woman just like you're machshir the man. The man, we said, doesn't become profaned with regard to other bios asuros. She does become profaned with regard to other bios asuros. And just like she becomes profaned with regard to other bios asuros, so too, in the case of the woman, if she's an almona, she'll become profaned. What's wrong with that logic? What's weak about it? So hence the Gemara is asking, my im nafshoch lomar. V'chitemo ikol mifrach. You might say that there was the following challenge. Ma lezaroi, you might say that the fact that his zera becomes profane, shekein yitziroso baveira, it was formed in sin. The zera, the children, were born out of sin. Kohen Gadol having intimacy with an almona, it's prohibited. Should I say the same thing with regard to the woman herself, the almona herself? She wasn't formed in sin. So therefore, I'm not going to compare necessarily the almona to Zaro, to his seed. Therefore, I need another source to tell me that the intimacy of the kohen gadol with the almona ruins her. Omar Kro, lo yichalel, lo yichulal, ze sheyakosher v'neschal. Do not profane that which had been kosher before, namely the woman, and through this intimacy becomes profaned. Tonu Rabbanon, Eizo hi chalola. What is a chalola? Kol shenoldim in apsulim. Anyone born from those that are disqualified. My psulim. What do you mean by that? Ilem apsulim loi. If you're going to say women that are prohibited to him, to the man. So any, according to this, any child, any girl born from women that a man should not have relations with, she would be rendered a chalola. But that's not true. Hare machzir grushosoi.
a man who divorces his wife, and while divorced, she chooses to marry a second husband. If that second husband divorces her or dies, she is prohibited by the Torah of going back to her first husband. As long as she doesn't remarry, it's nice for the husband to take her back, but once she's remarried someone else, she cannot go back to her first husband. That's called Machzir Gushoso. So that case of Machzir Gushoso Dipsula Lo, she is disqualified from marrying him. We know that if a man takes back his grusha after she married someone else, the relationship is called toeva, one of disgust. He toeva ve'en boneo toyavim. She is viewed as an abomination, but not her children. In other words, children resulting from that union are kosher to the kahuna. So what does the source mean when it says anyone born from psulim? You notice we have a new marking, a crown shape, and on the side of the Gemara our Nosei Mivne heading, the crown highlights the expression Hachi Ko'omar. These are nisyonos, these are attempts, Lahasbir Abraisa Diktoni, Ezi Chalola Kol Shenolda Min Apsulim. Here we're trying to explain this Braisa. So, Omar Rav Yehuda Hachi Ko'omar, Ezohi Chalola Kol Shenolda Min Psul Kahuna. What is a Chalola? That which was born from a union prohibited to Kehanim. Now, according to that, we can infer Nolda in Lo, Nolda Lo, only someone born from a prohibited union. But if not born from a prohibited union, then it would not be a Chalola. But that's not true. Hare Almona, Ugrusha, Zoyna, any of these women, an Almona who had intimacy with a Kohen Gadol, a Grusha or a Zoyna that had intimacy with a Kohen Hedyot, the Lo Nolda, they weren't born as disqualified from the kuna, the kohavya chalola, but as a result of the prohibited intimacy, those women themselves become chalolas. So, how do we make sense of the original source? Omar Rabo, hochi ko omar. Ezo chalolo muzkeres. Now, this is an unusual word. The Gemara, right underneath the next line, you'll see the Gemara ask, my muzkeres. But in the meantime, Ezo chalolo muzkeres shilohoyo lo shas hakosher klau. What is the case of chalolo that never had a moment of acceptability to kahuna? Kol shenoldam in psul kahuna. Anyone born from that which is unfit to kahanim. Someone who's born from that which is unfit, so they never had a moment of acceptance. So the source was trying to zero in on that type of disqualification, that type of individual that didn't have a shas kosher, that didn't have a moment of acceptability. My muzkeres, what does that word refer to? Omar Reb Yitzchok Bar Oven, Hachi Ko'omar. Before we go further in the Gemara, just glance down at the Rashi. We have a star toward the end of the Rashi, six lines up from the bottom. Hachi komar ezuhi chalola hamuzkeres batora sheikora imashmoi samikra. What is the chalola mentioned in the Torah whose identity is primarily a result of what the verses say? Shekosav chalola lo yikochu. Pasuk says amongst the different women that a kohen should not marry, says it should not marry a chalola. The ain't srifin the farish midi soifrim to mikro nafka behedya. What chalola is that which the Torah is referring to without any further rabbinic explanations? In other words, there are certain things in the Torah that are obvious just by reading the verse as it is, and there are other types of prohibitions and mitzvah explanations that you need an oral tradition to explain. So here we're looking for the, we'll call it the stripped down model, the basic chalola of the Torah. And now we continue into Gemara. So Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Oven tells us, Hochi komar, ezui chalola she'ikora midivrei Torah, v'ein tzrichim nefaresh midivrei soifrim. Answer, kol shenolda min psule kahuna, all those that are born from women that are posel to marry the kahuna. So when you look at the pasuk and you look in the Torah, so the Torah speaks about lo yichalel. The word yichalel is like the word halala. Lo yichalel zaro. Rashi says kol shenoldim isukunah distam cholol, the unqualified cholol hainu vlad psul posul kahuna. It's the child that is born and is unfit to the guna midichtiv, from the pasuk that says lo yichalel zaro. And that's lo yichalel zaro is that when the Torah warns the kohen not to marry forbidden women, and by doing so he is profaning his seed. So it's those children that are clearly prohibited to the guna by just reading the pasuk. But to describe a woman who becomes a halola through prohibited intimacy, where the woman herself, she's not born as a halola, but she becomes a halola through intimacy, in order to come to that conclusion, we have to employ the oral tradition, by interpreting the word lo yichalel. We saw before lo that was already a rabbinic interpretation, an oral law helping us expand the prohibition of halola to those beyond just those born from an isur kahuna. As you can see, there's a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. Almona, almona, almona. And then a Kohen Gadol has intimacy. Eino chayav elo achas. The Gemara will be asking three lines from the bottom, what does this mean, this three-time reference to almona? So we'll hold off till we get to the Gemara later. Likewise, you have grusha, 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 eino chayav elo achas. Almona ugrusha v'chalola zona. A woman who started off as an almona, then was married and divorced. Then she's now a divorcee in addition to being an almona. And then she became a chalola. And then she became a zona. Bizman shem keseder chayav al kolachas v'achas. When these different labels set in that order, as we said, she started off as a widow. She married someone and then got divorced. She then becomes a grusha. She then, as a grusha, she married a kohen, and with that she becomes a halala. And after that, she had intimacy with a close relative, for example. It's called a intimacy with a relative or a mamzer. That would make her into a zona. Halolus results from intimacies that are prohibited to kohanim, but zona status, that results from intimacies that are prohibited to everybody. Now we turn back to the Gemara. The opposite situation, let me read again from our Roman numeral number 2, the case we just read. Let's read it again. Almona ugrusha v'chalola zona bizman shem keseder chayav al kolachas v'achas. Zinsa v'nischalola v'nisgarsha v'nisarmala. Here you can see there's a reverse order to what we just had. Then eino chayav elo achas. That would result in only one violation. As we indicated before, these points will be clarified by the Gemara itself later on. Omar Mar, Almona, 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 Eino Chayav Elo Achas. Hai Almona Hechidomi. What are the circumstances behind this citation of Almona? And we really are starting here a long question. In addition to that, we have some markings. On the side, we have our topic heading, the Farsh Divrei HaBraisa. Here we're coming to explain the Braisa, the Ketoni, Almona, 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 Inuchai, Valachas. And under the Mivneh, the structural note, the triangles that you see are Nisyoinois, Lahasbir, Divrei HaBraisa. These are attempts to explain the Braisa. So we have a long question marking, which includes the first couple of triangles. Hechi, we ask here, Hai Almona Hechi Domi. In Lema Shebo Al Almonas Ruvein V'Al Almonas Shimon V'Al Almonas Levi, a Kohen Gadol had intimacy with three different widows: the widow of Ruvein, and the widow of Shimon, and the widow of Levi. Amayinu Chayav Alachas. Why would the source rule that he's guilty of only one violation? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Hare Gufin Muchlokim, Hare Shemos Muchlokim. You have separate bodies, they're separate women, and they are widows of separate shemos, separate people, Ruvein, Shimon, and Levi. Elo shebo al almono achas sholosh bios. Rather, it must be that he had relations with one almona three times. Well, hechidomi, again, what are the circumstances? Idelo asrube, if he was not warned, if there was no hasra, if there's no warning, so you can't give the required punishment, which would be malchus, be lashings. You can't administer punishments unless there was a warning before the action. So how in the world could you say if there was no warning between the acts that he'd be guilty for punishment for each subsequent act? And hence, what the source says, Einu Chai V'Lachas, would be obvious. That's what the Gemara means when it says, Pshita de Einu Chai V'Lachas. Elo, the Asru Be'al Kol Chana V'Chana. This Kohen Gadol had relations with one Almona three times. And between, prior to each act, he received a warning that this is prohibited and you'll be guilty of lashings. Well, am I Einu Chai V'Lachas? Why would he be Chayav? Why would he be in violation only of one? Why would he be culpable of only one punishment? V'atnan, we have a source, Nozir Shoyse Yayin Kol Hayom Kulo, Eino Chayav Elo Achas. A Nozir who is prohibited from drinking wine, and he was drinking wine all day, he's considered in violation of one offense. Omru Lo, however, if they told the Nozir, Al Tishte, prior to each drink, they told him, don't drink the wine, and he drank it. Again, he wanted a drink, and they said, don't drink the wine. He drank a second time. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. He's chayav a separate offense for each drinking, because each drinking was preceded by a warning. So what are the circumstances of our braisa? Lo tzricha, the source that spoke about it, chayav al achas, is necessary for the following. Shebo al almonas ruvein. Shahoisa Amonas Shimoin, Shahoisa Amonas Levi. There's one lady, one woman, that was married three times. Her first husband, Ruvein, died. She married Shimon, and then he died. And that same woman married a third husband, Levi, and he died. And then a Kohen Gadol has intimacy with her. Mal de Tema Re Shemos Muchlokin. You might argue that here she has Shemos, different names upon her. She's the widow of Ruvein, the widow of Shimon, the widow of Levi. So maybe that is sufficient grounds for multiple violations. I want to emphasize, he had one act of intimacy with this woman, but she carried upon herself three names. So I might have thought that factor, the shemos muchlokim, is enough to result in multiple culpability. What the source tells us is that multiple violations necessitate gufin muchlokim, separate bodies. In other words, if you're going to use or emphasize the shemos muchlokim factor, that's not going to be enough to result in separate punishments unless you were dealing with three separate
ladies. Let us glance at the side of our Gemara. We have a new nosei. It reads, Isha shehi almona grusha chalola vizona, a woman who has all of these labels upon her, kayin habo aleha alma chayav, a kayin that has intimacy with this woman, for what will he be held responsible? Haim oimrim isur chal al isur oilo, do we say that a subsequent prohibition can attach itself to a previous prohibition? In other words, if we're dealing, let us say, with a Kohen Gadol, who is prohibited to have intimacy with an almona, with a widow. This woman, who happened to be a widow, she married another man, and that man divorced her. Upon becoming divorced, does the label Grusha attach itself to the previous label that she had, almona, or not? And likewise with regard to the subsequent prohibitions. This is, once again, the term, or the topic of Isur Chalal Isur. Does a second prohibition attach itself to a previous prohibition, thereby increasing the amount of culpability? Now, the Gemara. We quote from the source. We have a little star enabling you to see on Omid Aleph where this comes from. Almona ugrusha v'chalola zoyna. And the source said, Bizman Shem Keseder, when these prohibitions set upon the woman in this order, then he will be guilty of four violations. Hi Tana Mikosover. This Tana, what's his position on the topic of Isur Chalal Isur? If he holds that subsequent prohibitions attach themselves to previous ones, and then the item or the person in question will be becomes more forbidden than ipchonami, than the other way around also. In other words, the order, the opposite order. If she was first a zona, how does a woman become labeled a zona? Let us say a woman was raped by her brother. That's a non-Kohen prohibition. That's a general prohibition for a brother and sister to have intimacy. So by that kind of intimacy, she would be labeled a zona. And then she became a chalola. And then a grusha, and then finally an almona. Why, if this Tana holds Isur, Chalal Isur, would that scenario also not result in multiple violations? And yet the source said that if the order is reversed, then he's chayav only one. Ve'ini kosavar ein Isur, Chalal Isur, and if the Tana is of the opinion that once something is prohibited, it can't become more prohibited, Afilu kiseder azen amilo, then even following this order, she should not become more prohibited. In other words, if she starts off as an almona, whatever happens to her subsequently would be of no concern because ein isur chalal isur. And yet, according to the source, if you follow this order, the subsequent isurim do attach. The Gemara answers. Notice we have a long answer marking. Omar Rava, Hai Tana, Isur Chal al Isur Lesle, Isur Moisif Isle. Tana has as a basic principle that subsequent Isurim do not attach themselves to previous Isurim, to previous prohibitions. However, if the scenario is called Isur Moisif, then a subsequent Isur can attach itself to a previous Isur. You'll probably want to know what is an Isur Moisif. Let us read on in the Gemara and it will all be explained. Almona. You start off with an Almona. What can we say about her? Asur l'Kohen Gadol v'shari l'Kohen Hedyot. She's Asur. She's prohibited only to a Kohen Gadol, but to all the rest of the Kohanim, to common Kohanim, she is permitted. Havyalo Grusha. If that Almona then married a man and he divorced her, what happens now? Well, now she becomes usher. She was already usher to the Kohen Gadol, of course, we can agree. But
What about the Kohanim Hedyotim that we had? Now she becomes also to them as well. So Migu Disvasiv Law Isur Legabi Kohen Hedyot, since an Isur emerges now on her with regard to common Kohanim, Isvasiv Law Isur Legabi Kohen Godol. So the fact that this additional Isur takes hold with regard to other Kohanim, it takes hold upon the Kohen Gadol as well. If you wouldn't have had this we'll call this outside factor of her becoming usher now to Kohen Hedyots, so she wouldn't have become more usher to the Kohen Gadol. But since she becomes usher to others, she becomes usher to the Kohen Gadol as well. So now, with regard to the Kohen Gadol, she has two labels, Almona and Grusha. That is what we call Isur Moisif. And we continue with the illustration. Vadayin, but still, at this point, where she has these labels of Almona and Grusha upon her, Sharia Lemecha Betruma. When she gets divorced, and if she happens to be the daughter of a Kohen, she goes back to her father's house and resumes eating Truma as she did when she was single. So at this point in time, she has no Truma prohibition. However, Hav Yolo Chalolo. However, let us say she has intimacy with someone that with a Kohen. She has intimacy as an Almona, it would be with a Kohen Gadol, with regard to the Grusha, with a standard Kohen. The intimacy that she would have with a Kohen now would make her into a Chalola. Oh, and now she becomes a Chalola, Migu Disvasif Isur Lemecha Betruma, at this point, she is cut off from eating Truma. Truma is the tithe that is given to Kohanim and their Kohen families. But now she's become a Chalola, as we described. She's cut off from eating Truma. So a new Isur has set in. And we say that since Migu Isvasiv Isur Lemecha Betruma, Isvasiv Isur Legabi Kohen Gadol, since the Chalola label results in her becoming Osir to Truma, there is room for that Isur to set upon the Kohen Gadol as well. Ela Zoyna Mai Isur Moisif Isba, with regard to the Zona status, where is there some type of added Isur that we can say, if we have to find some type of outside prohibition which would then enable the Zona status to set upon the Kohen Gadol. Homer of Chona Barav Katina, Hoyel V'Shem Znus Poisel B'Yisrael. This is a little more complicated. What do we mean by the Shem Znus? For example, a married woman, regardless, unrelated to Kohanim, a married woman has illicit relations while married with another man. That is called znus. What is the result of that? She becomes also to her husband. So since we see that the shame znus has a manifestation amongst all of Klal Yisrael, so too the Zona label will have effects upon the Kohen Gadol. Rashi, you'll see a few lines up from here. Hayol v'shem znus poisel afil b'Yisrael kagon im zinso tachtov. A married woman has intimacy with another man while married. Neseras al bayla, she becomes prohibited to her husband. Hochonami, here too, afagav dahai znus lav tachas baylohu, even though this znus, we gave an example before of her brother having intimacy with her. That's not a znus of husband-wife nature, but it's a type of znus. Miu shem znus ashichon be moisif ba'almo. Nevertheless, we find the concept of znus having ramifications elsewhere, so too it sets upon the Kohen Gadol. So that the woman that we described before as and Almona. She was then divorced, she becomes a Grusha. She then had intimacy with a Kohen, making her into a Chalola. And then her brother had intimacy with her, making her into a Zona. A Kohen Gadol that would have relations with her would be in violation of all four offenses. And why is that? Because even though we say Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, but if it's an Isur Moisif, then Isur Chal Al Isur. The description we just gave of Isur Moisif is, as we just said, only in that order. If you reverse the order, then you don't have Isur Moisif. In other words, let us say a woman started off as a Bas Kohen who was had intimacy with her brother. That woman now becomes Usur across the boards. She cannot marry any Kohen. And the Shame's noose that she just became a victim of is something that already applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So that any of the subsequent prohibitions aren't going to make her, let's say, more prohibited than she already is. Hence, just to repeat ourselves, that's why the source told us that if the four Isurim appear in a reverse order, there's only one violation. Because Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. Toni Tano Kamei Derav Sheshes. The following Tanaic source was stated in the presence of Rav Sheshes. Kol shehu be yikach harehu belo yikach. This is a reference to the pasuk regarding a kohen gadol, which says v'hu isha bivisuleha yikach. Any woman that will say had the potential for being married by a kohen gadol in her state of virginity. So that woman, harehu belo yikach, that woman, if she is a woman that, I'm just repeating, if she had the potential prior to any subsequent labels of being taken by the Kohen Gadol as a wife, for example, a Kohen Gadol cannot take his own sister as a wife, but an unrelated virgin woman, he would have been able to marry. Therefore, that kind of woman is below yikach. If she happens to become an almona, a grusha, a zona, a chalola, where the pasuk says almona, grusha, zona, chalola, lo yikach. However, kol sheheino be yikach, eino below yikach. Any woman that, even as a virgin, could not have been married, there will be no violation in marrying her as an almona, grusha, zona, or a chalola. So, what is being excluded? Very simply, prat le kohen gadol shebo ala choisu almona. Imagine a kohen gadol has a sister that happens to be a widow. If the kohen gadol had intimacy with his widowed sister, he would be guilty of only achoso. He would be guilty of the achoso, the sister violation, not guilty of the almona violation. Why not? Because of the rule we said. The only time the almona violation sets in is if it's upon a woman became a widow, that kind of woman that as a virgin could have been married by the Kohen Gadol. But if it's a woman that could not have been married by the Kohen Gadol, for example, his own sister, if she becomes an almona, the Kohen Gadol will not be in violation of having had intimacy with an almona. He'll be guilty of having had intimacy with her as a sister. Omar Le Rav Sheshes, who heard this source, says to the Tana, the one who stated the source, the Omar Loch money, that which was said to you, the source, who is behind it? Who's the author? Who's the Tana behind it? On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. A diamond appears, highlighting the word money. You see also Aleph and Beis in our markings. These are Shnei L'Shoinois, two versions. B'mi Omer Ha'dekotani, who would say Prat L'Kayen Gadol Shebo'al Achayzo Almona. Let's continue in the Gemara.
Rebbe Shimon hi. This source is in accordance with Rebbe Shimon, Diomar Ein Isur Chalal Isur. That once someone is prohibited, they cannot become more prohibited. So once she is Osir as his sister, she cannot become Osir as an Almona. Tisanya, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Ho'echel Nevelo B'Yom HaKippur and Potter. One who eats unslaughtered meat, meat that came from an animal that was not slaughtered, that simply died, that's called Nevela. A Jew cannot eat Nevela meat. And he chose Yom Kippur as the day on which to eat it. Rebbe Shimon says he is not in violation of Yom Kippur. Why not? Because once it became prohibited as Nevela, it's Usur. It's already Usur for you to eat. Can't become more Usur. De'i Rabbanon, if our source above was in accordance with the Rabbanon, Ho Amri Isur Chal Al Isur, they hold that a subsequent Isur can attach itself to a previous Isur. And therefore, the Achisa that's also an Amona would have resulted in a double violation for the Kohen Gadol. So the source would appear to be Rebbe Shimon. The Gemara now has a reversal. Afilu Teimer Rabbanon. You don't have to say the source is limited to Rebbe Shimon's scope of thinking. Rather, it could be in accordance with the Rabbanon. Ki Amri Rabbanon Isur Halal Isur. When do the Rabbanon hold that a subsequent Isur sets upon a previous Isur? That a subsequent sin or violation is superimposed on a previous sinful act? Hanimili Isur Chomor Al Isur Kal. That would be when the second violation is more severe than the earlier violation. In the case of, let us say, Nevela and Yom Kippur, Nevela is a negative command. Eating on Yom Kippur carries with it a kores penalty. It's a more severe offense. So one who ate Nevela and Kippur would be guilty of both offenses according to the Rabbanan. But that's because the second Isur is more severe. The Yom Kippur violation is more severe than the Nevela violation. Aval Isur Kal Al Isur Chomur Lo Chayel. But a lighter Isur being superimposed on a previous, more severe Isur of sin or violation, that even the Rabbanan will say does not happen. The second lighter sin is not superimposed on the earlier, more severe sin. As we saw above, the Isur Almona, which is a Kohen-related Isur, does not get superimposed on the Isur Achoso sister, which is a more severe type of offense. Iko Diamri, an opposite approach to try to identify the author of the source above. So the other version is Ha'amani, Rabbanan hi. The source above, which said Prat L'Kohen Gadol Shebaal Chayis Almona, he would not be chayav for Almona. That's Rabbanan hi. Diamri, the Rabbanan would say Isur Chal Al Isur. V'chi Amri Rabbanan Isur Chal Isur Animi Isur Chomer Isur Kal. The Rabbanan who will say that a second Isur, a second prohibition, is superimposed on an earlier prohibition. That's when the second prohibition is more severe than the earlier prohibition. Avol, Isur Kal Al Isur Chomor, but a lighter violation, which is subsequent to a previous more serious offense, then Lo Chayel, then it would not become attached. It wouldn't be superimposed, as is the case with Almona being superimposed on the prohibition of Achosov's sister. So the source above is in accordance with the Rabbanan. De'i Rebbe Shimon. If you were to think that this was authored by Rebbe Shimon, Hashto Isur Chomor Al Isur Kal Lo Chayel. But as far as Rebbe Shimon is concerned, even a more severe Isur, like Yom Kippur, doesn't get superimposed on Nevela. Isur Kal Al Isur Chomor Mibaya. To tell me that Almona, a lighter offense, is not going to be superimposed on a more severe offense, that's obvious that it would not be chal. So to suggest that the source above is Rebbe Shimon, that's unlikely because it would be too obvious
We already know, Rabbi Shimon, in cases where the subsequent offense is more severe, it doesn't get superimposed on a lighter offense, then all the more so, or I say all the more obvious, where the second offense is lighter, it would not be superimposed on the former, more severe offense. The Gemara says, not necessarily so. It's not so obvious that the source is only according to the Rabbanan. Mahu detema. I would have thought, in other words, I will tell you that this source could in fact be according to Rabbi Shimon. You'll say it's obvious? No. Isur kahuna shiny. I would have thought that the Isur almona, which is a Kohen related Isur, it's different. What's different? Because we know that Kehanim have more restrictions, have more stringencies than the rank and file Jewish people. And as a result, I would have thought that since we're dealing with a Kohen Gadol within the realm of Kahuna, maybe Isur Chal al Isur, that even an Isur Kal, since it's a Kohen related Isur, the Isur of Almona, could be superimposed on the previous more chomor Isur of Achoso. Komash Malon, it's therefore necessary even for Reb Shimon to tell me Prat L'Kohen Gadol Shebo Al Achoso Almona, that even that case, even though it's a Kohen related matter, the Isur of Almona does not get superimposed on Achoso. As you can see, a slash mark that appears represents the onset of a new trend of thought. On the side of the more, we have a topic heading, a nosei, which reads, Im oimrim de'ein chalola elo misure kuna. If we say that chalola comes only from Kohen-related prohibitions, Kohen abo al achoisei, aso zoinev lo, aso chalola. A Kohen that would have intimacy with his sister, that would make her into a Zona, but would not make her into a Chalola. Omar Le Rav Papa Labai. Rav Papa asks, and we've labeled this a long question. Yisrael Habo Ala Choysoi. A non-Kohen, regular Yisrael, has intimacy with his sister. Zoino Mashvila. That makes her into a Zona, the Zona of the Torah. Chalola Mashvila Oiloi Mashvila. Does that intimacy make her into a Chalola or not? Now, it's true that as a Zona she's already prohibited to the Kahuna. But if she would carry with her an additional name, we would say that a Kohen that marries her would be guilty of two offenses, Zona and Chalola. So it's important for us to know, does it make her into a Chalola or not? What are the two possibilities? Mi Amrinon, Kal V'chomer. Should we say the following Kal V'chomer logic? Mechayve Lavin Havya Chalola. We know that from the violation of negative commands, Chalola results. Example, a Kohen Gadol has intimacy with an Almona. That makes her into a Chalola. What level of offense is a Kohen Gadol with an Almona? It's a lav, it's a negative offense. So from negative offenses, which relatively speaking are considered lighter violations, you make Chalolus. May Chayve Krisus Lo Kol Shekain, from the more severe type of offense that's punishable by Kores, like a man who has intimacy with his sister. All the more so, that should make her into a Chalola. Oy Dilma, or possibly Ein Chalola. Elo Miisur Kuna. The Chalola status comes about only from a Kohen-related violation. Intimacy with a sister is not unique to Kohanim. It applies to everybody. Omale, Abaye answers, Ein Chalola Elo Miisur Kuna Bilvad. Chalolas results only from Kohen-related violations, intimacies. Omar Rava, Mino HaMilso Di Omer Rabbanan. What is the basis for the rabbinic saying, Ein Chalola Elo Miisur Kahuna? that the halola status results only from Kohen-related violations. The Sanya. Now, we have a Tanaic source. You'll see in the source we have extensive markings in the form of double underlines. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, Lomo Nemra, you'll see that we've double underlined that expression. Ma melamed milim hamiyusorois vaposuk shel Kohen Gadol. When we read the pasuk of Kohen Gadol, there appear a number of forbidden relations that need not have actually been written. I could have figured them out from the pasuk that refers to a Kohen Hedyot, a standard Kohen. Let us look at the side. We've written two crucial psukim. There's a pasuk in Vayikra, Perech of Aleph, pasuk Yudala. This pasuk is with regard to a Kohen Gadol. The next pasuk that we're going to read actually appears earlier. It's pasuk Zion, which refers to a Kohen Hedyot. But first, the pasuk dealing with a Kohen Gadol, it says, Almona grusha v'chalola zoyno es eile lo yikach ki im b'sula me'amov yikach isha. The Kohen Gadol is warned against taking a woman that has any of these labels upon her, a widow, a divorcee, a chalola, or a zona. In Pasuk Zion, Vayikra Perech of Aleph Pasuk Zion, a Pasuk by Kohen Hadyot, it says, Isha zoyno v'chalola lo yikachu, v'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu ki kadoshu le'lokov. This pasuk is dealing with standard kohanim, and in this pasuk you see zona, halola, grusha, three of the four women that we saw prohibited to a kohen gadol are already prohibited by virtue of the kohen gadol being formerly a kohen hedyo. If that be the case, if we know that a kohen is prohibited anyway to a zona, halola, and a grusha, why did you have to spell them out again by the Kohen Gadol? So we have a number of seemingly extra words. Now the Gemara. We're trying to find the source for Ein Chalola Ela Mi'isur Kehuna. Tisanya, Lo Yoimar, let the Torah not write Grusha B'Kohen Gadol, like we see in Pasuk Yudalid. V'teisi B'Kavachom Mi'Kohen Hedyot. And I could have figured out that the Kohen Gadol is prohibited in a Grushin marrying a divorcee from the Kohen Hedyot. Ve'ano amino, and I would have said, Hashta l'Kohen Hedyot asura l'Kohen Gadol mibaya. If she's asur already to a Kohen Hedyot, do I need to tell you in Pasuk Yudalid that she's asur to a Kohen Gadol? She was already prohibited to him, the Kohen Gadol, while he was a Kohen Hedyot. Laman Amra. So why did the Torah in Pasuk Yud Dalid spell out Grusha? Answer. Kishen shechaluka Grusha mizoyna v'chalola b'kayin hedyot. We look again at Pasuk Zion. Zona and Chalola were mentioned together. Isha zoyna v'chalola lo yikachu. However, in referring to the prohibition of Grusha, she appears separately in that pasuk. It says, "V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu." The brisa we just read said, just like grusha is a separate lav, a separate negative command, separate from mizona v'chalola by the kohen hedyo. Therefore, if you have a woman that was a zona, a chalola, and a grusha, There will be separate malchus for his having violated grusha. So just like grusha is separate from zona halola by the kohen hedyot, kach chaluka the kohen gadol. So too the grusha violation will be a separate violation by a kohen gadol. So Mora says pshita, that's obvious. Migra gara, because he became a kohen gadol, would he be any less culpable? Of course not. So once you establish that grusha is a separate offense, a lav b'fnei atzmo by a kohen hedyot, of course it's the same thing by a kohen gadol. Elo kishem shechaluka grusha mizoyne v'chalola b'kohen hedyot.
Kach almana chaluka migrusha v'chalola zayna b'kayin gadol. So too, the offense of almana is separate from grusha chalazona in the case of kayin gadol, even though they were all taught together in one negative command. But the idea here is that the isolation of grusha by the kayin hedyot serves as a precedent for isolating the other offenses, including the case of almona by the kayin gadol. And as Rashi says in the wide lines under the Gemara, third, fourth line under the Gemara, kachaluk almona migrusha v'chulei shim hoisa almona grusha v'chalol zona, if a woman had four labels upon her, chayev al kol achas v'achas, she's the kohen is guilty for each one separately. Let's turn back to the Gemara itself. Chalola lama nemra by the kohen gadol. Why did the Torah specify chalola when we know that a kohen hedyot already is prohibited in a chalola? The Gemara says, Ein chalala ela meisur kahuna. The extra citation of chalala by Kohen Gadol was to convey this point that the isur chalala, the label of chalala that sets upon a woman making her usur, is only if she had participated in intimacy that's prohibited to kohanim. So that if she was, let us say, an almona, and she had relations with a kohen gadol, or if she was a divorcee and had relations with a kohen hedyot, she would become a chalola. Almona and gush have no bearing, no relevance to non-kohanim. So we learn from the extra reference to chalola by the kohen gadol this very principle, that ain chalola ela mi'isur kuna. We dot underline this because this is the reason the source was being brought in. However, we haven't finished all the extra words. Zona lama nemra. Why does zona appear by the kohen gadol? We know that a woman who is labeled a zona is prohibited already to a kohen hedyot. Nemar kan zona. It says by Kohen Gadol Zona, V'nema Lahalon Zona, and by the Kohen Hedyot it says Zona, Ma Kan Zaro Chulin, just like here by the Kohen Gadol, the child that results from a Kohen Gadol having intimacy, impregnating a Zona, the children are profaned, the children are disqualified from marrying into the Kahuna. Af lahalon zaroi chulin. So too, a kohen hedyot, where you don't have the pasuk of lo yichaleil zaro. That pasuk appears by a kohen gadol, but we're able to, through this gezeira shava, to transfer or to replicate the result to the regarding the children. From the case of Kohen Gadol, we can replicate it upon the case of the Kohen Hedyot, where his children also would be Chalolim. If a Kohen Hedyot has intimacy with a prohibited woman. Omar Ravashi, Hilkoch, since Ein Chalola, there's no chalolus other than through isurei kahuna. Omar Ravashi, Yukoh kain haboal achoso, a kain would have relations with his sister and who's unmarried. So that's a prohibited intimacy, but it's not a kohen. It's not specific to kahuna. At that point, Zoyna, the Gemara continues at the top of Ayin Chesam and Aleph. Zoyna mashvila, chalola lo mashvila. She becomes labeled a zona, but she doesn't become labeled a chalola through that act. Rashi at the top line says, Zoyna mashvila, luka is kain abo aleh oid mishum zoyna. Shrei Nivala Bilas Znus Mei Osir La. That's a prohibited intimacy with a man that is prohibited to her. Intimacy with a man that is prohibited to her, and it's not a prohibition unique to Kehanim, makes the woman into a Zona. She, at that point, is not a Chalola. Rashi says, Chalola lo mashmila ve'en kain sheni habo oleha loike mishum Chalola. So that at that point, if a Kohen would come along and have intimacy with her, he's having intimacy with a woman that's not a Chalola, so there would be no Chalola violation. Chazar uba aleha aso Chalola. That means once she becomes a Zona, once the Zona label is upon her, this last point, Chazar ubo aleha aso Chalola, means that after the first intimacy, which made her into a Zona, if then a Kohen has intimacy with her, he's having intimacy with a Zona. That's a prohibition that's unique to Kehanim. So that second act of intimacy, if it happens to be a Kohen that has the second act of intimacy, that will make her into a Chalola. And then if another Kohen comes along after that, we'll talk about the third act of intimacy, he's then in violation of both Zona and Chalola. So that if it were, let us say, the example that Ravashi gave, a Kohen that had relations with his sister, so for the first act that he has with her, that makes her into a Zona. That first act was an act that's prohibited across the boards. Man with his sister. That's not a Kohen-related violation. So that creates the label of Zona. If that Kohen would then have a second act of intimacy with her, at that point, once she carries the label of Zona, that's a Kohen-related prohibition. So the second act of intimacy would then create the label of Chalola. At that point, she has these two labels, Zona and Chalola. In our presentation here, we're not getting involved whatsoever with the issue of Isur Chalal Isur, the topic that we just discussed before. I think it's taking the simple approach to this piece of Gemara. Suffice it to say that we have seen that there are Tanoim that hold Isur Chal Al Isur. And being that that's the case, so even though she starts off with the label of Zona, there is room to talk about the label of Chalola setting in. Certainly if you accept the idea of Isur Chal Al Isur. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.